Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast for and about voiceover artists, actors, singers, comedians, and performers, anyone interested in the most fascinating of instruments, the human voice. Today's guest is a longtime friend and multi-talented singer and producer, Hildy Grossman. For the last several years, along with performing and recording regular gigs, Hildy has dedicated herself to raising money for research into a cure for lung cancer with her organization called Upstage Lung Cancer. She's presented several top-notch musical reviews and has her latest on December 7th this week in Cambridge. You're about to hear all about that. But first, let's hear from the lady herself, Hildy Grossman, behind the microphone doing what she does best.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought a bit about the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Well, there she is, the voice of my friend Hildy. Welcome. Nice to chat with you on the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Jordan.
Let's talk first of all about the event you have this week, Thursday night, and it's located at 500 Main Street, which it happens to be the Koch Institute for Integrative Cancer Research at MIT. And it's a show that'll feature some great performers, yourself included. Tell us a bit more about that.
I would love to. Don't let the title of the building seem too daunting. It's a beautiful, very modern place where some incredible science is being done. So our show is called From Broadway, From Bench to Broadway, Songs Where the Science Is, and bench refers to bench science. So upstairs in this building, people are looking for ways of treating and curing and diagnosing cancer. And it's just... it's a thrilling place to be, just to know that that kind of work is being done.
Upstage Lung Cancer is the organization you founded, and you've done a lot to raise money and awareness, some great concerts. But let's talk about you for a second. There's a personal reason here.
There is indeed. I was diagnosed with lung cancer myself, actually, 11 years ago. Knock on wood, if I can find some.
There's a little wood here somewhere. knock on Formica.
Thank God, knock on Formica.
I'm so happy to hear
11
that.
Years ago, yeah. Totally by accident. I just slipped on a new pair of shoes going down a narrow passageway, and it led to a bunch of just ridiculous stories, things that you could say, oh, you couldn't write this. But anyway, it ended up that they found lung cancer in trying to figure out why I twisted my wrist, which had nothing to do with anything, but they wound up doing an MRI of my back. And so we often say, survival should not be by accident.
Exactly. But you're a singer, and we're going to talk about your career that has a long history of recording and live performance and all that. And from what I remember, you didn't smoke.
I was a juvenile delinquent, so, I smoked a little bit when I was a teenager, but that's been many years, long while.
But I mean, the point is, people think, and you're also helping to educate us, that, oh my God, it's only people who smoke. We're finding lung cancer, unfortunately, sadly, popping up in people who have never smoked, and we don't know why.
That's right. Actually, over 60% of people who are newly diagnosed with lung cancer are not smokers. So there's been a stigma involved with lung cancer because usually the first question someone asks you is, did you smoke? And so people want to hear, yes, I smoked. And then they would say, oh, well, good.
Well,
it won't happen to me.
At least there's a reason we can place on it. But of course, it's environmental now and it's genetic. And that's why the research that you're helping to fund is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And as a singer, as you were saying, as on a personal note, it was very scary for me because I wanted to be able to continue singing. And I was working on one CD when I was diagnosed, and so half of it was recorded before and half was recorded after. And I don't think you could listen to the songs and tell the difference, so I feel proud of that.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. You've been a friend for a long time, but this podcast that I'm doing really focuses on more than just voice. It focuses on where the voice comes from. I mean that sort of philosophically. And as a singer, bringing across cabaret-style songs as well as you do, the shows you do are very emotional. They're uplifting. They're at times teary. And that's the fun. I use that term in quotes. Mm-hmm. That's the fun of doing what you do, isn't it? Bringing the audience along with you.
Well, exactly, because every song is a story. And if you don't approach it as a story, I think it's a huge mistake. And it sort of sucks the life out of a song. But if you bring the story and the person and what the experience is, whether it's something that seems like a corny love song, or, you know, if you're singing about looking through a window, Evan Hansen, you know, there's a story there and there's a person telling it. So I like to bring myself and the person and the experience, the whole rich experience to every song.
Tell me about your early days as a singer or as a musician. Was this something you trained for at a young age?
Well, it's funny. I always was a singer from the very beginning. And I think the most exciting thing when I was very young, I grew up in Cincinnati, and they have a great symphony orchestra. They still do there. And when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, people came from the symphony to audition children for a very special event that was written by Steve Allen. He wrote this whole concert. It's still a great memory. You know, the kids would get up and they were singing and this and that. They'd start you singing some scales and then they'd have to sing a song. So when my turn came, they said, okay, sing a scale. Here's start with this note. And then I sang the scale and they said, oh, you're in. So wow. I was thrilled. That was like one of my best memories, you know.
Steve Allen, one of my favorite people. Was he there at all involved in this?
I don't think so, but I don't know. Yeah. But many people at these days, I don't even know who remembers him, but hopefully a lot of people do.
I would hope so. He was a brilliant comedian, writer, host of the First Tonight Show, and he did a lot of music, claimed that he could never read music. I'm not sure if that's true.
But it's very possible. Neither did Irving Berlin.
Right.
So, but what he could do is, I remember, he was an incredible composer. I don't know how many songs, but
thousands, I believe.
A lot of them, yeah. But I remember he had some kind of a bit on a show where you'd give him three notes and he'd make up a song right on the spot.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So he was a very brilliant guy. And this, I still remember some of that.
So that's how you get your start.
Again, that was my start.
Accidental, beautiful timing.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So,
and your voice is, as we heard in the beginning of the show, your voice is very melodic and sweet, but you can also belt if you need to, right?
Right, I do. And I also have a jazz group called the Fallen Angels. And last year we did a number, in fact, this year too, we did a number of rock and roll tunes, early rock and roll, not current ones, but sort of classic rock and roll. And that was fun. So I've done that all the way from early German and French cabaret to rock and roll to Broadway.
Again, we're talking about a show that's Thursday. This podcast launches December 7th in the evening in Cambridge at the Koch Institute, and it's at 500 Main Street. Don't worry about any of that. It's all at the website upstagelungcancer.org. Go, you'll have a super time, and you'll support a wonderful cause. Let's talk about some of the previous artists that you've honored in these presentations, because all of them share something in common. They all, sadly, lost their lives to lung cancer. Let's talk about Nat King Cole for a second. I was there at that show. Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a combo show of Nat King Cole and Rosemary Clooney, and both of them lost their lives to lung cancer.
Unforgettable. What you are, unforgettable, though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable.
Nat King Cole, if memory serves, when he was sick, and he was only in his 40s, he was about 45 when he died.
That's right.
When he was sick, I remember hearing the story, and you might have said it on stage, that he would visit others in the hospital ward and try to cheer them up and also remind people not to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of your tributes. Another one was Leonard Bernstein, who, of course, has a great tradition here in New England.
Absolutely. Great tradition in New England and was so multi-talented. And his music is quite wonderful. We did some music from On the Town, which was one of his shows. He, Comden and Green,
right,
wrote the lyrics for that. And it's brilliant, brilliant.
I mean, West Side Story, Candide, there are so many examples. Not to mention the classical that he brought to the world and made accessible to the world.
Hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never been here before.
Ah, what can happen to you in one day? What do you think you're gonna do?
New York, New York, a wonderful town. The Bronx is up and the battery's down. The people ride in a hole in the ground. New York, New York, it's a wonderful town.
When we did that show with Leonard Bernstein, there's a quintet in West Side Story, and it's very difficult and complicated. And this all-volunteer, all-professional, all-top-of-their-game award-winning performers who were in my show, oh, my God, we were dying over the quintet. But it turned out it was great. It was great.
You have an amazing capacity to get people to do your bidding. I mean, that in the best possible light, in that you've asked volunteers to come and not only work on stage, but behind the scenes. And just a word or two about what that means to you, to have this community that comes together to sing, to perform for such a nice cause.
Well, you know, I feel in many ways like a very blessed person. And I mean, what I mean by that is, I feel really grateful for the people and the relationships in my life. And I very often have said, you know, it's been a great thing that I got lung cancer. Now, that sounds insane, but the event of having lung cancer was not good. But what came from it was it made me really think about what's important in life. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not about accumulating wealth or fame or, oh, I don't know, you know, another pair of shoes, although that's always fun.
Yes.
But it is relationships. And I think you hear nothing but awful things about awful people these days. Just every day there's one more disappointment and one more person that just seems awful. And what I have experienced through upstage lung cancer and the people who've come forward and saying, yes, I'll do that again. I'll do that again. Joyce Kolhawick, who is our master of ceremonies, as you have been for many of our events, but Joyce Kolhawick has been there now. This is our ninth year doing this. She's been there for 9 years and always upbeat, always got ideas, always ready to tweet.
Herself a cancer survivor 3 times.
Yep.
What's really cool about this is that there's that universal love of the music between the audience and the performers and so forth. And that's why when you look at the list, we mentioned a few of them, Bernstein and Nat King Cole, it includes people like one of my favorites and everybody's, Dean Martin. And that was a terrific show, the Dean Martin tribute.
That was a great show. We had a lot of fun. Your friend and mine, Scott Wally, was in that show. Lee Barrett was in that show, along with Brian and Paula. And we had a great time. And one of my memories of that show was I had broken my foot. So I had a giant cast on my foot.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Yes. To the boom, if I only had a drum here. Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
Dean Martin, I know his daughter Deanna. I've interviewed her years ago, and she and I correspond a little bit, and she's a very fine performer in her own right. Yeah, he left a tremendous legacy, and he's more appreciated now than he was maybe during the latter portion of his life. So it's really nice to celebrate him and to celebrate all of these artists. So besides the event this week that we'll continue to plug for you, you've got other events throughout the year. We just talked about one in April of 2018. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, I'm hoping you'll be able to be the MC for this.
Looks good.
I'm hopeful. I'm putting it out in the universe, as they say. Well, we've done another show in the spring, and that's not as seasoned as this one. That's been about 5 years. As opposed to 9 years for this other show. That's tomorrow night. And we've called it Sing Out, and we've had a lot of experiments with a lot of different, sometimes it's been children's groups singing, sometimes it's college students, sometimes it's a cappella. This year, I'm toying with the idea of having a laugh-in or laugh-out and making it comedy. So it would be, again, using your lungs for singing or laughter, all these positive ways of using your lungs. So I think funny songs and maybe some comedians.
Well, then I have to MC this thing.
That's what I said.
Right up my alley.
You have to.
I'm very likely to be there.
You MC the one this year. And honest to God, I was like, if you listen to the track, I'm like your laugh track. I laugh the whole time, every time you open your mouth.
So. There was a lot of good material there that yes. I had at my disposal. But no, it's great fun. And as I've interviewed so many people in my career and talked to so many performers, I'd like to, before we conclude, ask you a little bit about performing. Do you still get nervous when you're up there?
It depends. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't at all. And I can't tell you what the exact variable is. I think the more comfortable I am with a song, the less nervous I feel.
Here's the thing that I love about professional singers is the ability, obviously, to put a song across. I have no idea how many in your repertoire, in your head, but to memorize lyrics, and there are so many hundreds of possible songs that you could have up there. And I know old performers use teleprompters nowadays, but you don't.
No.
How does that happen for you?
I don't know. It's kind of amazing. Well, I will tell a little story. So everybody listening to this, I hope you will come tomorrow to the concert.
Thursday, December 7th is the official date in the evening.
500 Main Street at the Koch Institute in Cambridge. And if you are listening, we're going to give you, if you mention that you heard this podcast, we'll give you a 50% discount on a ticket. How's that?
That's darn tootin' nice of you. Thank you so much.
But I will say, when we worked the program out and what songs we were going to include, we decided on the first song would be something. It was a Sondheim. It is a Sondheim song, and it's from Sunday in the Park with George. And there were 5 billion lyrics. And I have to say, for the first few weeks working on this song, I was terrified. But this morning, while walking my dog and singing out loud in my neighborhood, they've come to understand that's who I am. I finally thought, okay, I think I own this.
I don't know of anybody who's done Sondheim who hasn't had the same experience, because he just is the master of word play, and it becomes a challenge for the audience to even keep up. So good for you.
Yep. So it's five of us, or four of us, will be doing that opening number, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, joyful evening, and we're going to have a silent auction if you want, and there'll be a reception, food.
Well, every show that Hildy Grossman puts on is a winner, whether it's in a huge venue or a small venue, it doesn't matter. The love that sort of permeates from the stage is infectious, and of course, it's one of many events throughout the year, but if you want tickets, half price, if you mention this podcast, for December 7th, go to upstagelungcancer.org, and you have an events page right there.
We do. And if you happen to be listening to this podcast and it is Thursday the 7th, then just come on over and get your ticket right there and mention that you heard Jordan's podcast.
And because these little podcasts sort of live on in the ether, remember that Hildy and I do a lot of projects throughout the year. She's an outstanding singer with several CDs that you can check out. And of course, the Fallen Angels. It's not F-A-L-L-E-N either.
No, that's a porn site. You really don't want to
Don't go there.
Do not look me up on the porn site.
Fallen is spelled F-O-L-L-E-N because that was the street you lived on.
Well, that was the street that Longy School of Music was on.
Oh, is that? Okay.
And that's where we originally started.
Boy, Well, I don't want to go there, but having a website that's close to a bad website, oh my goodness.
Oh, well, it's got something to talk about.
It's a conversation starter.
It is absolutely a conversation starter. Starter or stopper,
well,
depending.
As they say, break a leg. And thank you for doing what you do. And, you know, your lungs, my lungs, we take things for granted. You don't, and I actually don't. But it's so cool to know that we have the ability to communicate, speak, sing, make people laugh.
Exactly. And those are the best ways we use our lungs.
Well, Hildy, it's great to see you. We'll go out on one of your songs and keep the music flowing, and thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you so much. Always being supportive. Always, always, always. So, thank you.
My thanks to Hildy Grossman, singer, producer, recording artist, and fundraiser extraordinaire for a great cause. Visit upstagelungcancer.org. You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced and hosted by Chart Productions, available on all networks, including iTunes, on the web at chartproductions.com as well. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Hildy, take us out.
It had to be you. Oh, it had to be you. I wandered around and found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad, thinking of you. Some others I've seen, they might never be mean, they might never be cross or try to be boss, but they would not ever do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. it had to be you.